Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
This morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm 72. If you want to go ahead and turn there in a Bible. And as you're turning to Psalm 72, I'm going to set the stage for us quickly with this psalm. This psalm was written sometime in King Solomon's lifetime. At the very top, your Bible probably says something like, of Solomon, or a psalm of Solomon. Normally, we would take that to mean that Solomon wrote this psalm. Like, we have all kinds of psalms that say, of David, things like that. It's definitely possible that Solomon wrote this psalm as a prayer that the people could pray for him, but it's also possible, and I think maybe just a little bit more likely, that the psalm was actually written by David or someone else as a prayer to be prayed over Solomon right around the time that Solomon became king. So either way, it doesn't really matter because we know that God is the author of all scripture, and so this is good for us to read and study and pray even today. So let me read it for us now, and if you would, let's stand to honor our King as we read. Psalm 72. Give the God and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures, as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Saba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be an abundance of grain in the land. On tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him, all nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. You can take your seat. Let me quickly address that last verse before we get too far along. Some people use that verse as evidence that David wrote this psalm, but I don't think that that's exactly what this verse is trying to tell us. If you look at your Bible between the end of Psalm 72 and the beginning of Psalm 73, it probably says something like Book 3, right before Psalm 73, which is just a note to mark the divisions that we have in the Psalms. There are 150 Psalms in the Bible, but those Psalms are broken down into five smaller divisions that are also called books. And so each of these books was probably collected at a different time, and Psalm 72 comes right at the end of Book 2. And so this verse 20 is not looking back over Psalm 72, it's looking back over all of Book 2, or maybe even Book 1 and Book 2, and saying, basically, the end And then later, you know, other people, maybe Ezra, collected more psalms after that. So that's what that's talking about. With that said, we're going to spend a little time working through some of the themes here in Psalm 72, are prayers and songs that teach us how to pray and how to sing. And this psalm in particular teaches us how to pray for the king. When this was written, the people of Israel prayed this psalm for King Solomon. And for us today, you might be tempted to think that we don't have a king to pray this for. But we do. Christians form a nation of people scattered all across the globe who have citizenship in heaven. And this nation is a kingdom. We serve our God, King Jesus, who rules over all with power and justice and love forever. Every day, you and I are tempted to usurp the authority of our king, to stage a coup in our hearts, and to put a pathetic man named self on the throne. And this psalm is going to help us with that this morning. There are four main themes that I want to highlight, and so for those of you who like outlines, here you go. The psalm teaches us to pray for a king who judges with righteousness, to pray for a king who rules with power, to pray for a king who makes his people prosper, and to pray for a king whose fame lasts forever. So first, we pray for a king who judges with righteousness. We see this starting out in verses 1 and 2. It says, "Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice." So remember, this is someone praying for the new king, Solomon, asking that God would give Solomon the ability to judge with God's justice. If Solomon is going to be a good king, the royal son, this son of David, needs righteousness. He needs not to be swayed by deceit, not to be blinded by a bribe. He needs to make right rulings, to decide what God would decide. So they pray, "God, please give Solomon the ability to decree what you think is right." And then verse 4 shows us what that looks like in practice. "May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor." When God's justice is put into practice, the poor get defended from those who would oppress them. Money buys you no favors in God's kingdom, because the son of the king defends and delivers the sons of the needy. Look at verse 12. "He delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight." This is what the king's reign will look like. He delivers the needy. He delivers the poor. It doesn't say that he helps those who help themselves. He helps those who have no helper. When the weak and the needy get caught in a trap, he redeems their life. Redemption always comes with a cost. And the cost isn't charged to the weak and the needy. The king pays the bill. The king makes the necessary sacrifice, whatever it takes, to save them out of oppression and violence. And precious is their blood in his sight. Precious. Like a father willing to do anything to stop the bleeding when his child even gets a paper cut, the righteous king mourns when his people spill their blood. So the prayer is, "God, give Solomon this righteousness. Give Solomon this sense of justice." And we can look in history and see that this prayer was answered. God gave Solomon the wisdom to judge rightly. Think about the situation in 1 Kings 3, where the two women were claiming the same child, and Solomon made sure the child went home with his mother. It says in verse 28 of that chapter, "All Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. So we can see that God answered this prayer for Solomon, and at the same time, we have to realize that Solomon didn't live up to such a lofty prayer. He saves the lives of the needy. He redeems their life. Solomon was a great king, but he didn't lay down his life for his people. Only Jesus did that. So while we can recognize that God answered this prayer in Solomon's life, we have to also recognize that God answered this prayer more completely through Jesus' life. Jesus judges with perfect justice. Jesus defends the cause of the poor and the needy. Jesus helps those who have no helper. Jesus redeems the lives of the oppressed. And Jesus considers the blood of his people, of your blood and my blood, he considers our blood to be more precious than his own. So let's pray with the psalm. God, keep judging with righteousness. Keep defending the needy and the helpless. Keep redeeming the lives of the oppressed. We pray for a king who judges with righteousness. And we pray for a king who rules with power. Look at verse 8. May he have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Saba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him. We're praying for King Solomon's rule to expand into a massive empire. The king should come to dominate the land from sea to sea. If you rule everything from one sea to the other sea, you rule everything. It says, from the river to the ends of the earth. And this is talking about an empire that stretches from the Euphrates River out until there's nothing left to rule over. Verse 9 says that desert tribes should bow down before him and his enemies should lick the dust. Desert tribes are traditionally very resistant to being ruled over. If only because most armies can't survive going out into the desert. There's no water. They don't know how to live out there. So it takes a lot of strength and a lot of power to round up the desert tribes and get them to submit. We're praying for a king who has a lot of power. Verse 10 talks about Tarshish. Tarshish was a significant seaport in the ancient world, situated somewhere in the Mediterranean Sea, possibly as far away from Israel as modern-day Spain. So when the people prayed for the kings of Tarshish and the other coastlands to bring tribute to Solomon, they're imagining the entire Mediterranean Sea under his control. It says, may the kings of Sheba and Saba bring gifts. Sheba was at the end of the Arabian Peninsula in present-day Yemen, and Saba was south of Egypt in present-day Sudan or Eritrea. And so from Israel, both of those places are on the other side of a massive desert, making them really difficult places to get. The point is that Solomon's reign is so big, we want Solomon's reign to be so big and so powerful, that people are going to come across the desert just to bring him gifts. And then in verse 11, it says, may all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him. God, you know, we pray. We know Solomon is your king, and he's judging righteously. So we want him to reign over all the kings, over all the nations, over all the people. That's the prayer that they pray. And we can see that God actually answered a lot of this prayer. In 1 Kings 10, we can read that the queen of Sheba made the difficult land journey across the desert, bearing gifts for Solomon, just like they prayed. We also read that Solomon had ships that would sail back and forth to Tarshish, bringing back gold and silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. Solomon gained immense power in the region, to the extent that 1 Kings uses a little bit of hyperbole to describe what his kingdom is like. This is 1 Kings 10:23. It says, thus Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom, and the whole earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom. which God had put into his mind. Every one of them brought his present, articles of silver and gold, garments, myrrh, spices, horses, and mules, so much year by year. God gave Solomon this massive empire. He surpassed all the other kings of the earth. And yet, we can also see that this prayer is asking for even more than Solomon achieved. Solomon may have entertained the queen of Sheba, but he didn't dominate her kingdom. People may have come from all over to see him, but there were nations that didn't bow to him. Only Jesus is king over the kings and Lord over the lords. Only Jesus rules from sea to sea and adds to his kingdom until it reaches the ends of the earth. So let's pray with this psalm. God, keep giving Jesus power. Keep expanding his kingdom until it reaches every last corner of the earth, from the Euphrates River all the way around to Alverton, Kentucky. Make him so powerful that his rule extends into the places most resistant to his rule, places like my sinful heart. We pray for a king who rules with power. And we pray for a king who makes his people prosper. Look back up at verse 3. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness. We want Solomon's reign to be prosperous. We want the mountains and the hills to fuel the prosperity of the kingdom. And notice that this prosperity is for the people. We don't just want Solomon himself to be prosperous, to enrich himself. We want the people who are part of the kingdom to be prosperous. Look at verse 6. It says, may he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. Any of you who are homeowners know what happens when rain falls on the mown grass. You get more grass. When the showers water the earth, the crops grow. The rains bring life. And so we want the king to bring growth and life to the kingdom. We want the righteous to flourish in the kingdom. Down in verse 16, may there be abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. We're not only asking that people don't starve from lack of food, we're praying for an abundance of grain in the land. The prayer is that the grain would be waving on the tops of the mountains. I don't know about you, but anytime I've seen the top of a mountain, it's just rocks. There's a reason we don't use the mountains for farmland. Nothing grows there. But the psalm is asking here that the land would be so fruitful that even on tops of the mountains, food would be growing abundantly. It says, may its fruit be like Lebanon. Lebanon was known in the ancient world for its forests and tall trees. So the prayer here is that the stalks of wheat would stand as tall as the cedar trees. It's like us asking for our cornfields to rival the redwood forests. And then the psalm goes even further. It says, may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May the kingdom be so fruitful that people spring up as readily as the grass, that children grow up healthy and full of life. The prayer is, God, please let Solomon's kingdom be so fruitful that all the people live in prosperity, that an overflowing abundance ensures none are left wanting. Like with everything else we've looked at, we can see that God answered this prayer for King Solomon. The queen of Sheba said to Solomon, 1 Kings 7 and 8, your wisdom and your prosperity surpass the report that I heard. Happy are your men, happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. There's enough prosperity in Solomon's kingdom that even the servants were well fed and happy. And at the same time, we realize that some of this just couldn't be met by Solomon's reign. Crops weren't actually growing on the mountaintops, and there were probably some people in the kingdom that kept going to bed hungry. Only King Jesus can make his people this prosperous. Only the one who created the world can recreate it into a place where people blossom like flowers, and the rule of a king feels like refreshing rains. So let's pray with this psalm. God, send the refreshing rains of your grace. Cause us to overflow with the abundance of your love. Let your kingdom be marked by plenty and contentment. Make us happy servants, like those who served Solomon. We pray for a king who makes his people prosper, and we pray for a king whose fame lasts forever. Let's look back at verse 5. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. This psalm is a couple thousand years old, but the sun seems to be doing just fine. The moon is still taking laps in the sky. The point here is that the people of the kingdom would continually fear God, that the king would rule in such a way that God would be honored forever. Down in verse 15, it says about the king, long may he live. May the gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. If we have a good king who rules righteously and seeks the prosperity of his people, we want that king to rule a long time. So the psalm says, God, please keep Solomon alive. Make sure that people keep praying for his good. And then verse 17, may his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. This prayer hearkens back to God's promise to Abraham. God promised to bless Abraham, to make his name great. And he promised that through Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. So the psalm prays, God, make good on your promise to Abraham. Use him to bless the entire world. We know that God did bless Solomon with answers to some of these prayers. The gold of Sheba was given to him. We're sitting here thousands of years later still talking about Solomon, so his name has continued to endure. His fame has continued. And at the same time, we have to realize that Solomon was never going to live forever. Solomon's rule was never going to live forever. And it didn't. You might know the story. As all of the money and fame and power poured in from foreign nations, foreign gods also crept into the kingdom. Solomon rejected following God as the one true God and started worshiping these other gods as well. And so because Solomon rejected God, God rejected Solomon. And in the generation after Solomon's death, God split the kingdom in half, and it was all downhill from there. Jesus is the only king who rules forever. His is the only name that endures forever. Only in Jesus are all people blessed, and only in Jesus is God's promise to Abraham finally fulfilled. Jesus is the blessing. And as the gospel reaches every family on earth, all nations are blessed by the righteous rule of a loving king. So let's pray with the psalm. God, make Jesus king forever. Make him famous everywhere. Let all people in all nations be blessed by his righteous rule. And then in verse 18, the psalm turns from praying for Solomon to praising our God. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Solomon was a great king, but God is the only one who works wonders. Solomon's name continued beyond his life, but God's name is blessed forever. People came from far away to bring honor to Solomon, but only God will fill the entire earth with his glory. Jesus is the answer to all of these prayers. Jesus is king. He's a good king. the very best. He's a king who judges with perfect righteousness. He's a king who rules with infinite power. He's a king who makes his people prosper abundantly. He's a king whose glory and fame last forever. This kingdom is not like an earthly government. No election gives him authority or could take it away. He already has all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus doesn't expand his rule with violence. The kingdom expands as people from every walk of life, from every nation and language and family, experience the grace and the forgiveness that he offers. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, this psalm has some very bad news for you. The God King Jesus has authority over everything. And that includes you. It's treason to reject his righteous rule. But the best news that has ever been told is that you don't have to be his enemy. The good king redeems those who call on him for help. Your citizenship in the kingdom of heaven comes at great cost, but he gives it freely. Jesus has done everything necessary for you to turn from trying to rule your own life to follow the king, to worship him, and to obey him, to call on him for help, and he won't turn you away. If you're a Christian here today, you are already a citizen of this great heavenly kingdom. Your king demands your allegiance. There are times that we all usurp his authority. There are times that we all stage a coup in our hearts and try to set something else, someone else, on the throne of our hearts. Maybe that king is named self. Maybe we're following a king named money or success. Maybe it's safety or security, pride or power. If you find that your king makes decisions that aren't right or just, you need a new king. If your king isn't defending the cause of the needy and the oppressed, you need a new king. If your king isn't pouring out the refreshing rains of grace and peace in your life, you need a new king. If your king uses violence to expand his power, if he doesn't already rule the entire world with justice and love, you need a new king. If your king only cares about himself and doesn't make sure that all people prosper, that all are invited to experience the abundance available in his kingdom, you need a new king. If your king has glory that will fade and a name that will be forgotten, you need a new king. Turn to our God King Jesus. Submit to his righteous rule. He's a good king, the very best.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you, and I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.